Jenkins.
Well, it's a Saturday night. It's a little past 9 o'clock. In fact, it's about 20 minutes past 9 o'clock, and I just got here. Now, Bill is never late. Except on this day. I don't know what happened, but my great thanks to my colleague and dear friend, Dr. Susan Forward, for sitting here. She had a date with her masseuse, but she had to stay here and go over it with you. And then, of course, you know what it is when you're in a hurry. Everybody on the freeway is out there, you know, they're stopping their cars and having a picnic and barbecuing hot dogs and doing all of that sort of thing. But we're here. And we have quite a night in front of us. As you know, if you've been with me for these last 5 years, one of the things I suppose that I want to do more than anything in the world is to go out of body. I have tried and I have tried. And today in the mail, I got 6 little booklets just today. And I haven't had a chance to start the process. But we're going to talk to our guest tonight about the out-of-body experience. This is the third time for him, I think, on the air. Jerry Gross, welcome to the Open Mind Show.
Glad to be here.
Late as we are. I got the booklets today, Jerry.
Did you finally get them?
Finally got them today.
I think I told Jim to mail them out to you 3 months ago.
Well, as you know, I work the same as with the mails.
Yeah.
So I haven't had a chance to go through the process. I wish I could say that I was late tonight because I was out of body, but, you know, I could get by with that. But I didn't. Welcome aboard, Jerry. What's new in the world on the other side?
Well, let's see what happened. I haven't talked to you for about a half a year now.
Yeah, it's been a while. Where it has.
Well, one thing. I moved from in the city out to the country. I bought a nice place on the St. Croix, about 35 acres, where I could practice better without the interference from the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the most amazing thing that I did in the last week or so was, or last month, we'll put it, is travel up to the spaceship that's up there.
You went up there?
Yes.
What about the shuttle?
The shuttle, yeah.
How are things on the shuttle?
Well, I didn't get that close to it. I just more or less just passed by it as it was going. I didn't get a chance to really look into it because...
You didn't go in and check in on the guys and gals?
No, I didn't.
Why not?
It just didn't enter my mind, Bill, to go in. I just wanted to see it up there, if they really get it up there, because... You hear so many different things, like when we got to the moon, like it was all a bunch of hoaxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked that out, and there is a lot of garbage up on the moon. I think I told you that last time when I went up there.
Right.
There's a few dead Russians.
Right, we know that.
Up on the moon.
We know about the dead Russians. They're there.
And there's a lot of stuff going on. Not going on up there, but a lot of stuff up, laying around up there.
What about on the astral level? Is there a lot of activity up there?
A lot. And there's going to be a lot more to come. I see something's going to big break this year or next year.
On the moon?
Yes. And
astral level or physical level?
Physical level.
Well, as you know, NASA has now got the okay for a moon base. Oh, it looks like they're going to get it. After the space station.
Now,
who else is working on the moon?
I'll say this much. I think the Russians are much farther ahead on their space program right now than we are.
Well, they're in a deep space mode, and evidently they're headed for Mars. Possibly the moon, but most likely Mars. They have a capability of going to Mars and putting a colony there now. We don't. We have sort of contained ourselves.
Yeah, we got that one little toy they're playing around with now.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we're just kind of holding still on that.
Well, I think there's some new technology in the work about lifting bodies that will change the American space effort altogether.
You know, it's... like you talked about astral projection, that you'd love to do it, you know.
I'm going to do it, Jerry. I've got
I know, but when you get done with that course, you're going to do it.
Absolutely.
But,
you know, it's funny thing, Robert Monroe will be here in 4 weeks. He'll be here in studio. Now, he's promised to yank me out of body, but I am going to have been gone and back by the time he gets here. Sorry about that. I've got that much confidence in you.
I know you will. You shouldn't have no problem at all because you got your mind made up that you're going to do it.
I certainly have. You know, now, you and I have just been chatting back and forth, but let's you and I stand back for just a second and put ourselves in the position of somebody who's hearing this program for the first time. They don't know what we're talking about when we talk about out of mind or out of body. Out of mind, too, perhaps. One of the persons is Mike Kelly, our new engineer. He doesn't know what we're talking about. Would you explain to me what the out-of-body experience is? Because you don't have to explain to me, but explain to everybody. Let's assume that they've never heard of it before. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about astral projection, and it's the same thing as you probably, I imagine most of the listeners heard about the people that had near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Where they lifted all of their body and they seen themselves laying on a bed or wherever they were, or if they had a car accident, seen themselves laying in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But what this course that you got and what we got is it that we teach you don't have to have a near death experience to have this experience. That everybody can, and if they really make up their mind to do it, they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not that hard. We were all given the ability when we came into this physical body to do it. We did it when we were young children, but...
Don't remember it.
Yeah, that's one thing. Another thing, we took on the material things, and we forgot all about it.
You know, it's interesting you bring up the babies. If you just think about it for a second, you're a very intelligent being inside this unformed body. It can't do its thing yet. That's a very boring place to be.
Very boring.
Mother has to feed you, and you have to lay in the crib. You can't walk. You can't do this. So you go, you pop out of there and do your thing that you've been doing for thousands of years, right?
That's right. And the thing is, you just let the body grow up a little so you can start enjoying it.
And, you know, I was taught some time ago by a dear old friend of mine by the name of George Fiedler that this human body that we have is nothing more than a spacesuit to let us endure the rigors of this very dense world that we live in.
Yeah, that's right.
It really is.
It's like a diver suit.
But for those who don't understand what we're talking about you having the ability to take your consciousness outside of your physical body and move into another realm. We'll call it the astral plane. You can call it anywhere you want to. But it's the same place you go when you die. Right?
Right.
And that's where home really is.
That's your home.
You'll find everything and everybody over there. It's a different world altogether. And those of us living in the physical realm have the ability to go over there and visit for a while. We also have the ability to roam the entire universe if we feel like it. Now, I know that that is contrary to the teachings of our great religions and of our great scientists and all of that, but nevertheless, hundreds of thousands, millions of people do it. You know, I'm sure that here in Los Angeles, they have to have a traffic cop above town to get everybody in and out. Every time we do a show on the out-of-body experience, I find that everybody goes, except me.
Is that right?
I'm the only one in Los Angeles that doesn't go out of body.
You know, the funniest thing, Bill, is about this whole thing. You know, like up here on our TV station, they had a series brought out by a doctor about how they're treating people to use their mind to heal their body, cancer patients and heart patients.
That's the only way to do it.
And they're doing it.
Certainly they are.
If we would have came out with this, if they would have mentioned this 20 years ago, the medical profession would have threw them out. You know, it can't be done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just show life. And then back 20 years ago, I knew you could do this, but nobody would ever listen to you on it. But little by little, this is coming out more and more and more.
Well,
and it's going to come to a time, which I would say in the very near future, that everybody will be, they'll take astral projection like everyday thing.
It's a normal kind of thing.
Yes.
One of the things that's exciting about doing this show, Jerry, is that, you know, we talk about these way out things, but I also try to get involved in them. We talk about walking on hot coals. Can you imagine that? Barefooted, walking on a bed of coals, 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, I did it twice.
You didn't burn yourself, did you?
It's like walking over popcorn. And a couple of nights later, when I did the show, I had the surgeon there at the burn ward at Broad Memorial Hospital trying to talk me to come down there to get skin grafts for my feet. Obviously, that's what I needed, but my feet were just in great shape. You know, I didn't need to go down there. We've talked about the fact that we can create an electronic device that will create a lot more energy than it uses. Now, of course, all of the great physicists of our time will tell you that that's not so. It just so happens that it is so, and the physicists of our time don't know what they're talking about. And for those who think that you cannot go out of the body, I just suggest to you, you don't know what you're talking about.
The most amazing thing about this, Bill, is that everybody does leave their body at night when they fall asleep.
Can't sleep without it.
And they don't even realize it. But if they like it or not, they go out.
They do go out. Jerry, I love talking to you because you're so down to earth and you're so right with us. And what I want those that are listening for the first time tonight, or maybe for many times tonight, if you have questions about the out-of-body experience, the astral travel or astral projection, whatever you want to call it, removing yourself from your physical body and going someplace else, find out what is over there, why you go over there, and what is in it for you. And there is a great deal in it for you. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me give you the numbers. All of our numbers end in talk, T-A-L-K. In Los Angeles, your number is 520. In the San Fernando Valley, do you want to go?
I'll go.
Because what we're going to do, we're going to take 200 or 300 people who want to go with us. And we're going to go over there and spend time with those marvelous British transmediums and psychics. We're going to visit the ghost houses. We're going to go up to Stonehenge. And find a lot of other things to do. They're kind of in our bailiwick. You want to go?
Sure.
All right. You're on.
Okay.
In fact, what I would like to do, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't have the specifics and the details for anyone yet, but we would like to hear from you, A, if you would like to go, and B, what you would like to do when you get over there, because we figure you probably know more about what to do in England than we do, because we've never gone. So if you'll just write me a letter to Bill Jenkins, here at KABC, 3321 South La Cienega Boulevard, 90016, and just say London trip. It's no kind of commitment. I know I got a letter from a gal in Burbank. She says, I'm packed. That was it. You know, we just want to know. And then Chucky Travel will contact you and find out, you know, what you think is a good idea. And when we get the package all put together, because we'll all be able to go very inexpensively if you're a member of the KABC Travel Club. And, Jerry, I just made you one.
Okay, thank you.
We'll have a great time. But, Ken and Bob go everywhere in the travel club, and they have 300 or 400 people go with them. We want to have more than Ken and Bob has. You know, I've got a stronger group, I say. You know, they're on the air all the time. We're only on the air 3 hours a week. But we'll show them, right? So, Jerry, you can go. What about Jim Vogt? He can go too, right?
We'll bring them all along.
Except you guys go all the time, anytime you want to. You just lay down and relax, and you're off.
It'd be a lot of fun laying in England and coming back here.
Oh, that would be interesting. You ready to talk to the group?
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, we have Paul on the line. Paul?
Paul!
Yes?
This is Paul. I got to call you in the afternoon all the time. I made it.
You did what?
I got to call you in the afternoon after hours. This is Paul.
Oh, hello, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Great. I made it, and your engineer was very nice to me because it's my birthday.
What happened?
So she let me be first.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Well, she's super good.
Yeah, she's great. I want to talk to Jerry about a few. I have his first course, and I really didn't apply it too well, but I've had some experiences that he might be able to help me with. I've had a few instances occur where my mind is in a different physical place, and I'm laying down. It's right before it's almost in the alpha state before you're falling asleep. And it just seems like something happens. I don't know if it's fear or what. Says, no, you're going the wrong place. And I jerk, you know, like my whole body just does this jerk. I just want to know, is that Is that part of the astral body leaving? Is that one of the symptoms of people who aren't consciously doing it?
First of all, let me ask you, are you enjoying that course?
Well, like I said, I haven't followed up on it. I got the first one, and you all sent me a couple follow-up letters wanting to know what's wrong, you know. And I just been kind of procrastinating about it, but I definitely intend on, you know, going to the next course.
Well, see, I have an excuse. I just got mine today.
Did you?
You ought to run into that and get serious about it.
Yeah, can I get all of them? Like, I got to just get the rest of the courses all at once?
Sure.
Okay, great.
But the thing is, what you experienced there, you were so close.
Really?
So close that you called yourself back.
That's what happened. It's like this voice in my mind says, no, it's not right. Don't do it. You know, like fear.
You're afraid. But
that's fear. That's what it is, fear. And that's one thing you got to get rid of.
That's the problem. And my wife also says that, can she ask you a quick question? Because she has the same thing. She remembers some of it. But she doesn't really have a desire to astral project, and I tell her the only way you're going to be remember everything is if you do consciously astral project. Isn't that correct?
That's right. Because when you go out, once a body goes to sleep and you go out,
sure,
you forget so much.
Oh, I know it. I can remember dreams. I've been wearing a quartz crystal all with me. I've had this crystal on. And it's definitely sharpened my psychic abilities. I feel more sensitive to unseen vibrations.
I'm glad to know somebody else carries a crystal with them. I have one with me all the time.
Yeah, and I do feel the extra energy in that area, too. It helps. But because my wife asked you one question.
Put it on.
Okay, we got a double phone here, so.
Hi.
What's your name, hon?
I'm Betty.
Hello, Betty.
Hi. Dr. Peoples told me that at the waning of the moon that I lose a body and go to visit a spirit guide named Chang. That is...
I remember you, Betty. I sure do.
Hi. And I would like very, very much to take responsibility and remember these particular visits. I don't have any particular desire other than this to ask to project. And I am in... therapy, psychic therapy at the moment, and I was wondering...
Why are you in therapy?
Because I have some really deep thoughts. Why am I in therapy? Because I want to get on with what I need to do as quickly as possible, and I've got some hang-ups.
You want to talk to me about them? No, no.
I want to know, is there a way of consciously controlling when one does this after projecting and so forth? I mean, it's like, I guess I have some...
I told her about that light in the spinal cord, but I haven't perfected that method.
Right.
It's like this, you know, this one particular visitation is something I really want to be cognizant of. It's really important and really special to me, and I really don't care about the fact that I leave the body every night to rest. Okay.
You want to leave the body and remember it and have all of those good things.
Yeah, I don't really care about traveling around the universe at the moment. I just really
you will
want
when you get there.
But what I want to remember is this one particular visitation with this one particular spirit guide.
You want to talk to Chang? Okay.
Yeah, I do. I want to remember it when I wake up the next morning.
Jerry, what do you say about that?
Well, the best thing he can do is that is just to remember is you got to start programming your subconscious.
Okay.
And the best way to do that is right before you go to sleep, say three times, I will remember.
That's good, yeah.
And another new deal I got this from a spirit teacher of astral projecting in that. I'm going to give this to Billy to start working on this.
You got this from your spirit teacher?
Yes.
Oh.
Hey, listen, I'm starting tonight, gang, so...
Hey, Bill, don't worry, I haven't gone out yet, so you're not the only one in L.A. that hasn't gone out of body.
Anyway, this is a new breathing deal. Your right nostril is your positive nostril at nighttime.
Okay.
And the left nostril is your positive during the daytime.
Mm.
When you do this three times a day, you hold one nostril, your negative nostril. Breathe in deep through your positive. Hold it as long as you can and let it out through the negative and reverse it. and do this 7 times, 3 times a day.
Are you writing that down?
I've got it.
Okay. And this will calm the physical body weight down. And once you really start practicing this, you will start feeling yourself even lifting out. I've been experiencing, I've been working on this now for the last couple months with different people around here.
Good.
And it works. It really works good. But always remember that the right is the positive at night, and the left is
positive
the positive
day.
During the day.
So reverse it before going to sleep.
Right.
Okay. And also try to program the subconscious mind to remember.
Yeah, it's easy to program the subconscious to remember.
Right.
You do this about for a week, and there ain't going to be no night for you because you will remember everything that's going on.
Wow.
Okay, Paula Bennett, does that help you?
Great. Well, I'm going to try it, and
I'm going home
the next time whether it works or not.
I'm going home tonight to try it, and, you know, my wife's going to think I'm funny sitting there just breathing in bed.
Hey, Bill, do you think you'd have an after cocktail ready for when I come out and meet you?
I understand we can do that over there. We'll all get together and put on a party like you wouldn't believe.
Okay, easy on the ice, all right?
But you have to bring Betty along.
All right, definitely will. Don't worry.
Wouldn't it be great to meet each other without any inhibitions whatsoever?
You know, I have met...
I mean, just pure essence and pure love. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
I know a lot of people that do that on the other side, and they have a grand time that we can't get into here because it's a family show.
Well, we have something to look forward to, don't we?
Thank you very much, Paula Betty. Appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night, Jerry.
Good night, all of you.
Good night, Jerry. Thank you very much. We're going to try it.
Hey, Jerry. Jerry, we've got to take a little break here, but you know what I'd like for you to do before I do? You have this marvelous set of 6 books, 6 little pamphlets that lead a person into this magnificent experience. How would someone go about getting those?
Well, just mail their name and address to be to Search and Prove. Box Cave, St. Paul Park, Minnesota.
Search and Prove, Box K.
St. Paul Park,
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Zip 55071.
55071. We'll repeat that again because it is definitely something
hey,
someone
hey,
should
Bill,
do.
Have I got time to say something else?
You got. We're going to be here till midnight, Jerry.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to let you go. Go ahead.
Anyway, what I want to say is that I should send you the letters of people from California that took the course and they got out of their bodies and they write me and tell me how good it is. Or that took that course and they actually got out and they write and tell me about how good they're doing and they're so excited about it. It's really working out good.
You really know how to hurt a guy. You know, a year and a half, you were going to send me the course. I got it today.
You're going to get out of that body if I have to come out there.
Okay. Between you and Bob Monroe, I think I'm going to get out. Can you hang on a minute? You know, and Search and Prove is deeply involved into this thing that we all love called going out of body. Jerry, you ready to take on Janet, who is standing by with bated breath? Talk to you. Hello, Janet.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Bated breath is right.
Okay.
I would like to share with you a class that I just recently have taken in this area.
Mm-hmm.
It deals with the concept of astral traveling, and I as well have always longed to do it and just never have been able to do it.
Have you done it yet? You haven't done it yet.
No, I haven't done it yet.
Join the club.
Yeah. The way this man presented the whole picture has given me the most hope I've ever had. First of all, he asked you, do you have a soul? And how would you respond to that question?
Well, I certainly do. It just wants to stay inside my body, and so I'm getting kicked at it.
Uh-huh. Now, he would respond, okay, I would like you to look at it in this way. You are a soul and have a body.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a man who has a biomedical chemistry brain science degree from MIT and studying biofeedback and has the ability to see the aura. And in the aura...
I'm delighted to know that someone from MIT can see an aura, you know.
Yeah, it was so thrilling to
hope.
See. Yes, this beautiful man, I mean, he looks like a real professor, you know. And here he's giving this wonderful lecture on all of this in this area of, so he said he gave techniques to enter into the soul realm, which is you're in your auric field would shine, you know, like the halos come.
Well, we call it the astral realm. He calls it the soul realm. That's all right. That makes sense.
Well, that's like the entrance point into the astral realm.
Okay.
By meditating and into that area above and out of your body, you know, just the immediate area around your body.
Janet, the orchestra just hit. You know what? If you don't mind,
yes.
I'd like for you to just kind of hang on the line.
Thank you. Certainly.
Because we're going to take a break for news.
Yes.
Jerry, you can go get a cup of coffee because that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Oh.
Janice, you can go get a cup of coffee, too. I'm Bill Jenkins, and we're here till midnight, and tonight we're talking about the out-of-body experience. Yes? Hundreds of thousands of people, well, everybody, but a lot of hundreds of thousands remember getting up and leaving their body and going to far-flung places, not only on the physical plane, the planets, and this Earth and all of its satellites and beyond, but also into the astral level, home, where the spirits live. They can do that. And to help you talk about that is a man who is very familiar with that and is training thousands of people to do it every year. His name is Jerry Gross, and his organization is Search and Prove, and they're headquartered in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Jerry is talking to us from right outside of St. Paul tonight, and we were talking to Janet when we left. Janet, what is your question for Jerry?
I'm sorry, I didn't really have a question. I just wanted to share that with you.
Oh, well, that was neat. You know, I really envy you because you've been able to do it, you know.
Yeah.
Bill has not done it. But then again, I just got my course from Jerry after 18 months just today.
Yes. Yes, I as well. I've just received my information and am ravishly reading it here and experiencing the tapes.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that with us, but you have gone, huh?
No, I haven't.
Well, you haven't gone, but you've gotten close.
Yes.
Jerry, what do you think is the next step for her?
She'd be out.
Yep. She hadn't gone yet, but she's close. Sounds to me like.
I think the main point, if you get to that point where she is now, is not to get too excited and don't let the fear take in.
Thank you.
Because I find more people, they have a tough time if you get real excited about it.
Yeah, it's correct.
Calm, and it'll just come natural to you.
Well, that's my problem. I have almost gone a couple of times, but this marvelous euphoric rushing begins to happen, and I'm saying to myself, hey, I'm about to go, right? I get so excited I wake up.
Yeah, that pulls you right back in again.
Do you recommend biofeedback as a tool to aid you in relaxing without falling asleep?
I never really took that.
Uh-huh.
I really couldn't say it. You know, everybody got to relax in different ways.
Yes.
I mean, you could probably relax better sitting up.
Mm-hmm.
I relax better laying down.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody got their own different way. Find the best way that suits you the best.
Mm-hmm.
I relax great in the spa, Jerry. I don't know whether I should do that while I'm in the spa or not.
Why not?
I may bubble right under.
No, you don't have to worry about that.
Janet, thank you very much.
You're
for
welcome.
Sharing that with us.
Bye.
And for hanging on the phone there. And
yeah.
Best of luck, and maybe we'll meet over there.
Thank you very much.
In fact, we're talking to Paul and Betty a little bit. We're going to have a party on the other side.
Oh, wonderful.
In fact, when we all learn how to do this, we'll take another one of those open mind trips. And you don't even have to be a member of the KABC Travel Club to go, because Chucky Travel doesn't know how to book this passage, I'll tell you.
Well, you have a lovely time.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Bye-bye.
We have Glenn on the line. Glenn, welcome aboard.
Hi.
Have you been out of body?
No way. I'm a skeptic.
Oh, good. Good. Why? What are you skeptical about? And lay it on us.
Okay, well, number one is, let's just basically start out with the fact, to be fair, that I've got some religious viewpoints about the thing. I don't see anywhere where it says that we can. And the other questions would come falling right in line. How come, why would we want to leave the body? And how come people feel that we've been doing it, that he feels we've been doing this for thousands of years, but Now, how come nobody knew about it until just now? We've been doing it for thousands of years.
Actually, and, you say you have a religious background. I presume that's a Christian background.
Yeah. Baptist.
I want you to read very carefully some of the writings of the Apostle Paul. He's
okay.
Very explicit about the fact that he went out of body.
He did, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Read Paul.
Read Paul. I think probably some of the most revealing things about Paul's out-of-body experiences will be found in Galatians and in Romans and in the second book of Corinthians.
That ought to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and my second biggest worry would be, what if we went out of body and we couldn't get back in?
Well, Jerry, answer that one.
That's nothing to worry about.
What if we went out of body? How would we, you know, what if there was a problem in getting back in?
Is your phone ringing or is Jerry?
Yeah, it's my phone. Don't worry.
You want to hang it up?
Because I can't.
Well, we're having a hard time hearing everything here.
Okay, hang on. I'll put you on hold and I'll answer it and come right back.
All right. That is a question that comes up quite often, Jerry, about if you go out of body, there
yeah.
you are untended, as it were, it would seem, to someone who doesn't know.
Okay. Yeah, I'm back now.
Okay.
Okay. Another fear would be, you know, when we're out of the body, naturally you're speaking of the spirit or the soul being missing. So what's, you know, what is the body doing at that time? Could it not be occupied by another force in particular, we're speaking of an evil force at that particular moment?
Good questions. They really are. Glenn, let Jerry answer those.
Well, as far as not getting back to the body, no problem. Because you are, when you come into this body, you are connected to what they call the silver cord. As long as that silver cord is connected, there is no way that you can get lost.
Uh-huh.
And the only time the silver cord is disconnected is when you take that last breath, it can leave the body for good.
Uh-huh.
And if the silver cord is connected, there is no way that another entity can take over your body.
Yeah, because from a religious background, we worry about being possessed.
Well, that's the fear our religious background threw in us.
Uh-huh. That sounds...
That's one thing I'll see.
Well, you can talk about your religious background, but you're not going to find anything about your body being possessed in the Bible.
Well,
you'll find that in ancillary lore that was developed primarily by the Catholic Church, but it's not biblical.
We're speaking particularly in where we see instances where somebody has fooled around usually with something they shouldn't have and became possessed, you know, and we're trying to make sure that this is not one of those things where a person should not be into. You know, for instance, like we talk about things like, we can go into things like a Ouija board or something like that. If people start messing in things that they don't know what they're doing, unless they check out the facts before they do, they might wind up with some problems, you know.
Well, I agree. The Ouija board, for instance, will bring on schizophrenia faster than anything I know.
Yeah, it has to be willed by the person something to happen. But if they're not a Christian person, let's say, and they're not held by God's force at that moment.
Let's understand that most of the people on the planet are not Christian people.
Well, Christianity is just a word. It doesn't mean anything, you know. But it's a matter of whether you believe in Jesus and whether you believe in...
Most of the people on the planet don't believe in Jesus as you do.
Well,
you got to consider, too, Bill, that you're Tibetan and your Hindus have been asked to reject it for thousands and thousands of years.
And so do the early so-called Christian fathers. If
right.
you read the writings of Origen and St. Augustine, these were great exponents, and they were pillars of the church for the first five centuries.
St. Augustine was a great astral projection.
Oh, yes, they were.
In two places at once, it remembered both places.
In fact, it might be a surprise to you, Glenn, to find out that one of the basic tenets of Christianity in its first five centuries was about reincarnation, the life on the other side, life on this side, and the connection between the two. And if you want to find out more about that, read Origen and read St. Augustine and read Joseph the... it's Jonathan, the brother of Jesus, who was the elder of the church at Jerusalem. All of them, you know, taught very, very, and talked a great deal about all of this activity that was going on. And, of course, in 522, that or 532, I believe it was, all of those writings were sponged from the so-called Litany of the Church, and this was the work of Justinian, who was the Caesar of Rome at that time, who had great problems in his mind about the fact that he had put to death 600,000 people because they would not become Christians. And in terms of percentages, that was a lot more people than Adolf Hitler put to death for his reasons.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
so Justinian decided the way to get rid of his afterlife problems was just to get rid of the teaching. And with the help of Pope Jonathan and his wife Theodora, who was a whore, they were able to do this. So you need to get into your history and understand more about your Christianity before you start making these statements based upon a religious and Christian.
Well, I'm not challenging. I'm not making these statements to challenge. I'm just trying to make sure that I have the right perspective on the situation.
There's nothing the matter with that, and I appreciate that very much.
Well, I'll tell you, it's the best thing to do, especially in the Los Angeles area. You got a big library right there. Go down and see if you can check out the 13th century Bible. You will find every bit of this right in there. But what they didn't take out, it's all right in there. The church took a lot of it out already after the 13th century.
Okay, well, it sounds pretty good so far.
Okay, Glenn, well, your telephone is ringing over there again.
I think I better take it. Oh, they gave up. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate your call very much.
And thank you.
There's nothing the matter with the skepticism, but I want you to do a little more research, if you will.
I'll definitely check into it a little further, and we'll, see what it's all about.
Very good.
Okay, bye.
KBC time is set, but it's not a phenomenon anymore, Jerry. Everybody seems to do it except Bill. Going out of body. Taking your consciousness out of your physical body and traveling hither, thither, and yon. We have Ted on the line. Hello, Ted. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, Bill. I always appreciate your novel program. And hello, Jerry.
Hello.
I had just one little touch with an out-of-body experience, which was kind of a disappointment. There was an ad in a magazine, an organization who professed to teach out-of-body experience, and I wrote a letter to the name of the person who was in the ad. And I said, I will be sitting in my apartment from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the 10 days. I gave a 10-day period waiting for you to come and see me. And then I will know that you have done what you came to do. But you never came. So that's the only experience I had. So what I was thinking about now, Jerry and Bill, is although you... I've heard both of you say you had... No, you haven't had the experience yet, that's right. But
no,
Jerry has.
Jerry has.
The only thing is, he hasn't any way to prove it to anybody.
Well, I think you do, Jerry. You have a lot of friends who go with you, in fact, don't you?
No, I'm talking about me.
Oh, you don't? Oh, how do we prove it to you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's no way to prove it. Has the London Society or American Society looked into your practice there, Jerry?
Duke University did.
Pardon?
Duke University did.
Did they do a paper on it?
They came out and tested me on it. That was about five.
That's the only disappointing thing for me is the fact that if I don't see proof of something, I don't believe it. And no, I'm a born skeptic, and you have to be a skeptic, otherwise you're gullible.
There's nothing the matter with being a skeptic, but
no.
I'll tell you this. The CIA uses out-of-body travelers. The Monroe Institute of Applied Sciences has a number of what they call explorers that are under contract to not only the government, but to major corporations and other research organizations. Because the out-of-body traveler has the ability to go into the past and into the future, believe it or not. And you find... organizations like this using the out-of-body traveler for research that can be done in no other way, that really has to impinge a bit upon your skepticism, and there's nothing the matter with the skepticism. I think it's...
Except that, yes, there is, Billy. Skepticism will at times prevent you from learning some truth.
Well, we see that happen all the time,
but
I think it's a necessary part of our society to, as you said, keep us all from being gullible.
Yeah.
None of us want to be.
But I want to know now, that five little booklets you're talking about that Jerry has?
Six.
And he gave the address, but he didn't give the amount of money to send.
Jerry, why don't you go through all of that again?
Well, it's like a 6-month course. All at once, you can get them.
I can hardly hear Jerry. I hear you very well, but I can hardly hear him.
Anyway, it's $30 for the whole course.
Wait,
six booklets.
Well, do you pay in advance? Do you pay piecemeal? How do you pay?
Well, any way you want. If you want to order one, it's $5 a month, and then when the month is up, we mail you another one.
I see.
It's best to do it that way instead of getting them all at once.
Well, thank you so much. And now, Bill?
Yeah.
I heard you say about an hour ago, you actually walked on hot coals?
Twice. And I'm
you
doing
really
it.
Did it.
And Thursday, I'm going to do it again.
You know something?
What's that?
Your word is proof enough for me.
Well, thank you very much.
If well, absolutely. You're not going to sit here on that phone and tell people you walked on hot coals and didn't bring your feet if it isn't true.
I certainly did.
Well, let me ask you something. How did you condition yourself to do that, Bill?
It's all a part of that of neuro-linguistic programming, which probably has a great deal, is very helpful in going out of body as far as that goes.
Well, just conditioning yourself to walk on those coals and not get burnt. How long did it take you, do you think, to condition yourself to be able to do that?
Well, we're getting off the subject, but it took about 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours to do that. But we're doing a lot of other things involved in neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
I'll do it again Thursday night up at the Odyssey Restaurant.
Odyssey? Where is that?
In Granada Hills.
Granada Hills.
Right above the San Diego Freeway.
Oh, kind of far. Well, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Good luck to you, Jerry and Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, Jerry. Let's give that address again, Jerry, where people can write you and start the course if they want.
Search Improve, Box K, St. Paul Park, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55071.
And it's in six booklets, and you
it's
prefer to send them...
booklets, and it's $30 for the whole course.
Or $5 per booklet, as
and
a...
And if you want to order by the month.
Either way.
And then, when you do start your course, we send you questionnaires out. We want to know what's happening. We keep well tab on you, see what's happening to you.
All right.
Help you out with all your problems. If you run into trouble or if you don't seem to get it, we help you out through that to answer your questions for you.
Very good. And we'll do that again tonight in case you missed that address. But I want to get as many people doing this and to help me along. You know, come visit me and yank me out if I haven't made it yet. We're going to do that one of these days. We really are. Now that I got the booklets, I really think that by this time next week that I'll be able to tell the folks that that I've gone out of body. And next week I'll have Edwin Slade with me. We're going to talk about the latest in UFO research, the amazing things at Nellis Air Force Base up in Las Vegas. They got a problem up there with UFOs. And maybe we can go up there and see them before it happens. We'll try that. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. My guest is Jerry Gross of Search Improve. He's speaking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota tonight. And our lines are open to you to talk about going out of body. It's Open Mind. I'm so glad you're with me tonight. Jerry Gross is with me. He's with Search Improve, which is a research organization into the out-of-body experience and what is found over there and why to go over there. And we have Starlight on the phone. Starlight, I want you to be nice now tonight.
Oh, hi, Bill. It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
It certainly has.
Oh, okay, and I'm sure glad you made it tonight.
You go out of body, don't you, Starlight?
I do, and I'd love to talk to Jerry.
He's right here.
He's, we need people like this fellow, because this thing is for real. Jerry?
Yes.
Oh, well... I go out in the astral quite often, and my husband does also. And either you or Bill, one of you had said that people, when they die, they often go out in the astral. Is that right?
Yes.
I have often had that experience. I'll go I'll meet in the place where people have passed on, and then I often go on from there to other places. And every once in a while, I see people that I have known. And of course, you take people that are in the newspaper or in the theatrical world, why, you'll spot them right away, you know. And so have you talked to people in the... I call it the Valley of the Shadow because the Bible on the 23rd Psalm makes that quite clear. And so that's what I always call it, although I don't know what anyone else has called it.
Well, there's every reason to believe when you read David, who wrote Psalms, that he was quite an astral traveler.
Yes. There's quite a lot of it in the Bible, but people don't realize what it is. So often when we read the Bible, we think it's something way back in time. But, you know, it works beautifully today, right now. It's for us.
There were very enlightened people, and they probably got their enlightenment from their out-of-body experiences and experiences of the extraterrestrials.
Yes.
You know, it's like this. Us people in the Western world were brought up that there's only two places, heaven and hell.
Yeah.
And the people do astral project, and they go to an astral, to the next plane of I called home. And it isn't like what our religion tells us heaven is really like, so they brush it aside.
Yeah.
And like you say, you go oversee people. Like my father been dead now for, he left his body about.
Uh-huh.
And it was one of the most beautiful things I ever went through.
Uh-huh.
By when he came over, it was like when he left his body at the hospital for the last time, it was just amazing seeing. He had a little trouble with alcohol.
Uh-huh.
And he was a great hunter, and his wife and him separated. He hid the gun so they couldn't get him. And then he owed my mother quite a bit of money. And when he came out of the body, and there was my father was standing there, and my grandmother was standing there waiting for him, and I was standing there. And he told me, he says, go to this little town north of Twin Cities. He says, in a trailer house on the west side of that town. The guy's name is Willie. And he says, that's where all my guns are. He says, he was a great hunter. He said, pick up those guns and give them to Ma. And she could sell them and probably get, you know, the money back.
Mm-hmm.
And that night, I went home. I told my mother, I said, don't ask no questions. Just do what I say. And we went over there, and that trailer house was right where he said. We got mm-hmm. the guns, and everything went there. But when he left, and he seen me standing there on the other side, he looked at me, he says, did you die too?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, I have to come back.
Uh-huh.
And he said to me, he said, boy, I sure goofed up this life, didn't I?
Uh-huh.
I said, don't worry about it. You'll be back to make up for it. So, it was just a beautiful experience.
Oh, yes. Well, I've had some wonderful experiences on that myself.
You all are making me very, very envious, you know.
Well, there's a time coming, Bill. We're all rooting for you, you know. Well, say, you know, I had a very nice experience it was October 1st, to be correct about it. And, you know, you've heard of Cleet Roberts.
Yes, I know Cleet.
Uh-huh. Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, he was a wonderful man, I always thought. He had such wonderful ideas and all. Well, do you know, I met him in the Astro.
He found a television station over there?
Where did you hear? Anyway, I said, well, Cleet Roberts. And he says, well, I don't think I know you. Well, I said, no, you don't know me, but you know, everybody knows you. And I said, you're the writer and newscaster, and goodness, during the World War, he was a correspondent, so he was really right up there.
Well, how's Cleet doing?
Well, we had a wonderful talk that I can tell you about, and so I don't want to get ahead of myself. Do you want me to hear a little bit what we said?
I'd love to, Starlight, but my board is full. There are a lot of people
who
want to...
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it was really interesting. Anyway, he's a great fellow, and I'll tell you one thing, something very beautiful. Now, people leave this particular astral place in the Valley of the Shadow, they leave there in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And when Cleet, when I was there with Cleet, and my husband was with me also, he goes out too. And a door opened before us, and a beautiful, beautiful blue sky, and the lovely floating clouds were right ahead of us. And the fragrance that came out from there of the flowers that permeated the air, it was just wonderful. And Cleet waved goodbye to us, and he turned his head. Now, listen to this. The angel was there, and the angel looked at us, smiled, and winked. Then they were gone.
That's an angel for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you imagine? I guess not many people have had angels wink at them, have they? But that's the way it. This is true.
Well, listen, my wife winks at me all the time, and she's an angel.
Oh, say, that's a good one.
Okay, Starlight, thank you very, very much.
You're very welcome. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have Tim on the line now. Tim, welcome aboard.
Hello.
We're traveling a lot of ground here.
Yes.
From Cleet Roberts to whatever. What's on your mind?
Okay, I've had several out-of-body experiences.
Did you meet Cleet on the other side?
No, I didn't. Okay, I haven't been off the earth.
Uh-huh.
I've only traveled around, but I had these. It just happened to me. I didn't learn it from anybody or anything. It just all of a sudden happened.
Like quite often happens, you know.
Yeah, I didn't know it happened. It really scared me at first. Because I felt this, like, electrical charge all over my body. And there was a bright light up to the right of me, up to the right of me, like a big long tunnel with a light at the end of it. And I saw this bright, bright light. And I just got this electrical feeling, and all of a sudden I just went poof, and I went out of my body. And it really scared me.
You did it with a poof.
Yeah, did it naturally.
Huh? Just went out natural.
Yeah.
That's great, Dan. You know, it's like me and Bill were talking at the beginning of the program. We have that when we're a small child. And the majority of the people lose that. But that's just natural.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I go out all the time.
Well, Tim, have you made any other trips?
Yes, I went to my grandmother's.
Yeah.
One afternoon, I was laying down, taking a little nap-like thing, and I wasn't even thinking about going out, and I went out, and within a split, less than a second, I was at my grandmother's house, and I saw her sitting at the table eating, and it kind of scared me, and so then, I it scared me so much I thought, well, something was happening to her or something. And then I went. So I came back right away, and I shook myself out of it. And I got up right away and got on the phone and called over there. And my uncle answered the phone. And I said, well, what's Grandma doing right now? He says, she's sitting at the table eating. And I said, what table? And she says, the dining room table. Just exactly where I saw her.
So you have no question in your mind that you went out of body and went over to Grandma's house?
Oh, right? I have no question at all about that. But
how far away is Grandma's house?
She lives about 3 or 4 miles from here.
So it's very close.
Yeah, very close. So I just was there just in a split second. But I have had a lot of other...
Where have you gone other than to Grandma's house?
Just in around my house, inside my house,
mm-hmm.
and places like that. But I've never gone any great distance yet, and I'm just wondering how you do that.
Just will it, and away you go.
Will it, and away you go. That's what somebody told me, too, about it. But I've had other strange experiences, too.
Like what?
A lot of ESP things like that happened to me, a lot of different type things.
And well, Jerry, he can go anywhere, can he? He can go to the planets. He can go as long as he stays, supposed to stay in the physical level. But you'll have, I think you'll find it far more interesting on the astral level, Tim, if you want to go up there.
Mm-hmm. I just wondering now, how would I go about seeing my father? He's been dead for 20 years.
Will
almost
it?
20 years. Just will it.
That's right. Anything you will, you'll go any place. If you want to go to England, you go. If you want to go to Mars, just will it.
Uh-huh.
It'll come. Just, when you're out, just think about it, and you're there. See, one thing you got to remember, when you're out of the body, there is no time or space. You're with one, call it, and all the time. So just think, and you're there.
You're very fortunate, Tim, to be able to do that naturally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do understand that we live in the past, present, and future all at the same time. I do believe that.
Well, here on the physical level on Earth, we live in a very, very constrained place. And it's made even more constrained by the teachings and the mores of our society. Hopefully we can break those down.
Well, like I always say, Bill, it's, here on Earth we live in an illusion.
Probably so.
And I always said, wouldn't it be a son of a gun? You wake up on the astral one morning and find out I had a bad dream. I dreamt I was on Earth.
Yeah. Listen, I have that dream every night. You know, this is a snake pit we live in here. Hey, Tim,
Yeah. Don't
be scared about it. Explore it and expand upon it. I think it'll make you spiritually a much more solid person because you see that all of this is real and it is not just myth. It's important to you.
Yes, it is.
And you'll get a better grasp on what is really going on as opposed to what we've been taught.
Could I ask one more question?
Sure.
Okay. How does you go about... I have these things where I know what's going to happen in the future. Is that part of it, too?
Are your precognitive ability? Your
right.
Psychic precognitive
right.
ability? I have a theory of mine, and I think you and I have talked about this before, Jerry, that a lot of the precognitive ability that people has is based upon the fact that they literally are going out of body and into the future. Now, we do know that the out-of-body travelers can go into the future. In fact, some of them are doing very valuable work in that respect for the government. And that may be a part of it. And you have an ability to do that almost just in a flash of a second or two.
It's all connected, if you know what I mean. Yeah, seeing the future in that with the astral projection. It's all connected. And I used to go into the future and you see a vision or something like that. But I kind of got away from it. I devoted myself more just to going out of the body. But it's connected in a way. But if you can get the vision, you should be able to astral project too then, with no problem at all, which you are. So it is a connection to both. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean.
Does that help you, Tim?
Yeah, it does, because I you know, I do these things quite often. It's this, EFP type things. I can tell the future. I can do that quite often.
Well, you have a really fine gift there, and I hope you fine hone it and use it for your betterment and those around you.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Well, thank you for talking.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay.
Appreciate your call.
Bye now.
KABC time now is 18 minutes away from 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Jerry Gross is with me of Search and Prove, a research organization into the out-of-body experience. And it's an experience that we all want to take, I would think. We're trying to introduce you to some of that thinking. It may be difficult for you, but it is actually going on. And whether you believe it or not is unimportant. One of these days you'll find out about it anyway. On the line, Cynthia, welcome to Open Mind.
Well, good evening. God bless you one and all.
Thank you.
If you say Cynthia, then you can get it a little easier.
Late in the night, Cynthia.
Pardon?
It's late in the night. Come on.
Well, for some people, perhaps.
Give me a break.
What I wanted to talk about is maybe a unique kind of situation that I find myself and my husband in. We are in proper in a lawsuit against a lot of corrupt officials in the county of San Bernardino, which we've been fighting for 3 years. I have experienced in the past where I can rather easily get out of my body, and I go out and I research, and actually I've found a lot of information that way, and I've seen lists and things of incredible property that my husband had that they took from him and never listed and such. But when I wake up, it's almost like it's right there in my hand when I'm out of my body. But I get back, and then I start to forget. And so I thought with your special guest on this evening that he might be able to help me out on how I can have much clearer memory to be able to recall lists of items and various evidences and things and where they're housed and what catalog numbers and things like that that the police absolutely do not want to give us, and which we have been fighting tooth and nail with them. Any comments?
Good question, Jerry. How do you remember what you saw and be able to translate that into some sort of action?
I told the other guest that called. The sister that called was...
Excuse me, may I say that I'm having difficulty in hearing Jerry? I can hear you.
Yeah, Jerry, can you speak up just a little bit?
Sure.
He's up in St. Paul, Minnesota.
I know.
So.
Yeah. Anyway, the main thing, you got to program yourself for this. You got to program that subconscious. You will remember. And by doing that, I don't care what's on that list. Have a piece of paper or a pencil by your bed or even a tape recorder. As soon as you do come back into the body, you got it, turn that thing on or start writing right away. No matter what it is, start putting it down. And as you write, it will all come to you right away.
I think you're right about that. I used to keep a dream log, and it was reams and reams and reams when I was a child, and I gave up because I'd spend most of the night writing what I remembered.
Try a tape recorder. That may be a little easier.
Well, I use the tape recorder all the time. I should move it to my bed whenever I'm asleep at night. I just wanted to say also that it's very refreshing to hear someone else talk about angels because they are there to help us. And I certainly do pray very fervently, and I do feel, that the answers do come. And I know that it was made possible for me to seek some help this evening because my husband and I, God bless him, can use all the help that we can get from all the helping hands out there that want to see not only this case coming to light of this type of police abuse that goes on,
mm-hmm.
but it is really the norm, it seems, across America. And I'm just so grateful to see the light of God shining forth on all these cases that are coming forth of how people are abused.
It's important on that, Cynthia, that people stand up and make the public officials accountable for their actions. You know, they sometimes think they are the law, they are not the law, the people are the law.
That's very true.
And whatever course that this may take you, and certainly if you can use the asset of the out-of-body travel and the other things that can be found on the other side to bring justice to hand, I think you'll get a lot of help.
Well, I'm sure it will come about.
Okay.
Because we do stand on the flame of justice, and that's why we're here in this world.
Then you don't have anything to worry about. You'll make it.
That's true. It doesn't matter if we win or not. It's all the noise that we're making and all the things that are happening as a result.
If you're right, then you need to win, and I'm sure you will.
Well, by God's grace.
Okay.
Thank you ever so much.
Every answer you want is out there. All you got to do is reach it, reach for it, and you will get it.
I know.
Okay. Al, you're on now.
Bill, I just want to say you have a great show.
Thank you very much.
I listen to you every week, and I just love it. That's all I can tell you.
thank you.
Tonight, Jerry, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Mellow as a cello, my man. I must tell you, I had an incredible experience. And it scared me.
Mellow as a cello? Oh, that's mellow.
Yes, my man. Especially tonight. It's a holy night. Listening to my main man. But I thought it was a dream, but after listening to the show, evidently it isn't a dream, that I left my body and went up to like the top of my ceiling and looked down upon my body. And I got very scared when this happened. And I turned into a prober type situation and like went back into time. Do you have any explanation for this?
Well, that's what you did. You went back in time.
Jerry, I can barely hear you.
Yeah, Jerry, can you speak up a little bit? You need to really get right into that old telephone there.
Okay. Exactly what you did. You went back into time.
Yeah, I probed back in time to, I don't know when, but it... like maybe 100 years, I don't know. It just was the most amazing thing in the world. You know, I think I just scared myself into it or something.
What did you see?
I saw people dressed in, well, women in long skirts, men with puffy pants. I mean, it was amazing. It was like the Pilgrim's Days, you know.
Sure you weren't in Hollywood?
I probably was. Hollywood Boulevard, actually. But no, I wasn't. I was, it was in my sleep. As a matter of fact, when I woke up out of my sleep, I was... all sweated up, and I was scared. I was really scared. I mean, I hate to admit it, but I was.
Yeah, the majority of the people do get scared when they have something like that.
I'm sorry?
The majority of the people do get scared when they have something like that. They don't know actually what's going on.
Right.
I don't know.
Do you have any suggestions? I mean, this only happened to me one time, but I mean, do you have any suggestions maybe for a future probe?
I'm not getting afraid.
Jerry, one last question. Have you ever heard of Benjamin Futz?
No, I haven't.
He's a writer out of New York, Hathaway Books. I think he had a book about astroplaning. It was very interesting.
About the astroplane?
Yes.
Benjamin wrote a book about astro travel.
Astro travel.
Is what Al is talking about. I think the main thing for you, Al, is not to be afraid. It's a normal function. Just roll with it and explore it. Let it be a moment of discovery. Hello? Well, who knows what happened there? Hope everything's all right with Al. We'll go on to Ann, who was talking to us. Hello, Ann.
Hello.
Yeah.
I have a question that relates to what the gentleman just before me was talking about. And I've been wondering about this for about 15 years, and I never had the opportunity to find out the answer in any source of reading or hearing anyone speak of it. When I was about 15, I woke up one morning, and suddenly I was someplace else, and it seemed like I was in another country. It was winter where I was, and it was summer in the place that I found myself, and it was so real. It was just like when I came back, I didn't know what was reality, whether the summer or the winter. It was just so vivid. Is that something that might be linked to an out-of-body, or would that be something else?
That's exactly what out-of-body is.
But, I mean, I was in a different climate, and I was in a different... people were dressed in different clothes, like 1880. And it just...
It sounds like you went to another place and another time.
Another time when you were out.
And it was just so vivid. I watched my feet walking on the hot dirt, and I had shorts on, and I was barefoot, and I was on a mountaintop, evidently. It was just so... I've never heard any reference to anything like that, and this evening has been the first time I've heard any reference to a time travel.
Well, welcome to Open Mind.
Well, yeah, you can, when you get a lot of people go back, matter of fact, I don't know if you believe it in reincarnation or not.
Yes, I do.
And a lot of times you can leave the body and you go back to another life of yours at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And which is a real good experience because you learned something from it.
But it was so vivid. It felt just like it was me at the present time of me having the experience. It didn't feel like I was any other person but the person I was at the time that I had the experience.
That's probably what you were experiencing.
Looking back.
Like a reincarnation?
You were in.
Mm-hmm.
Was that what you meant? Like a reincarnation?
You went back to a time period of a previous lifetime. Probably not as the person that you were at that time. However, I do know of people that have gone back and watched themselves in another lifetime.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe it related to what you were talking about tonight.
It does. Very much.
Very much on that.
Oh, my.
But you did go out of body, it sounds like. And you just went back to another time. That happens. That's a part of the out-of-body experience. That's
and no one knows what causes. No one knows what causes that sort of thing.
You caused it.
You caused
it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. I had just woke up. It was like I never planned it or anything.
Always remember this. We only use the physical mind. You got a beautiful subconscious mind that's always working for you. It's trying to teach you. We don't take advantage of it. And the only time that the subconscious mind can really work with you is when your body's asleep. And it will take you back into different things and try to teach you something. You were back here. What did you do wrong there?
Uh-huh.
And make you bring that back to improve your life in this reincarnation. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think so.
You're always striving for improvement. And if you have... a natural ability to make this transference to another life and to another life or to another time period, it'll be very helpful to you.
Mm-hmm.
But pay attention to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're here for a reason, and that's
right.
The improvement of your spiritual being. And what a marvelous tool it is for you to
mm-hmm.
help do just that.
Well, I've always wondered about that, and I thank you for answering my question.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Bill?
Yeah.
See, the whole thing is...
Can you speak up just a little bit, Jerry?
The whole thing is, when we were little babies, in the little body, our subconscious was controlling us then.
Mm-hmm.
And as the material mind started to develop, we shoved the subconscious back. And this is what I always stress in my lectures already. We've got to learn to bring that subconscious back out into focus again, that we can use it when we're awake, too. And this is the whole thing about astral projection, of using the subconscious to do it, not the physical. We want to put the physical to sleep and use the subconscious.
Right. And, you know, one of the tricks of life, I think, particularly in this more enlightened time, is the ability to tap that, whereas usually we can't. But I think we're finding more and more people who can, and there's a need for doing that now, right?
That's right. And we can tap it if we work at it.
And realize that we can. I think that's the first step. We've been so carefully taught that we can't do things like this, and we were so carefully taught wrong.
That's right. That's right. That's what threw the hammer into Will.
It really did. But I'm very gratified in seeing that there are a lot of people who understand, and it's no reflection upon the parents and the teachers that we've had in the past and the traditional education we've had in the past that just wasn't right. It was right for the time, but we live now in a new time, an enlightened age. The new age is upon us. In fact, we've crossed over the threshold, and there are going to be so many, many changes, and the ability to travel out of body is one of them. It's a very enlightening and educational experience, and we'll discuss it more in this next hour with Jerry Gross on Open Mind. I'm Bill Jenkins. Stay with.
Well, there's some stuff we're not supposed to know. We're supposed to know everything.
Well, in the times that we live in, we need every trick in the bag to get the information we need to be able to cope and indeed save this old planet and the humanity that lives on it. And I think one of the reasons that the door is opening to so many to this new avenue is because the need is there. People have had for all of man's history a relationship with the spiritual side of life that has been done through the prophets and through the seers and through the transmediums and those people who had that connection. But now the times demand that we all develop that kind of connection, and the out-of-body travel certainly is one of the ways to do it. We've seen enough scientific data, I think, to establish that it does happen. In fact, the burden of proof is on the detractors now that it doesn't happen. It does happen. It may violate your belief systems. It may violate your religious beliefs. Who cares? The fact of the matter is that it's there. We're in a time where the things that you don't believe in are coming true. And we've just a few of them that have happened on this show. The advent of an electrical device that produces an enormous amount of energy, much more than it uses, is a fact. It's reality. It's on the line. It will be on the marketplace, and there are still physicists at MIT that say it can't be done. Well, thank goodness there are physicists other than the ones at MIT who didn't believe that, because if we left it up to them, we'd never have our free energy device, which is here now. And the same thing is true with the out-of-body experience. Are you ready to answer some more questions, Jerry?
I'm all ready to go, Bill.
All right, here we go. We have Rex on the line. Hello, Rex.
Hello, Bill.
Yes.
One of the questions I have is, somebody that is not experienced or has never been instructed in out-of-body experiences, how can they tell whether or not they've experienced this before? What I mean is, how can we tell whether or not the dreams we had before were actually out-of-body experiences, or were they actually just dreams?
All right, that's probably a good question, Jerry. How do you discern that in your mind, whether you had a dream or you were remembering an out-of-body experience?
One thing about an out-of-body experience is that you get up in the morning and you will remember it good. It's something that will hang on you, you know. It just won't leave in a couple minutes after you wake up. It'll bother you maybe for a couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something to impress on you. And you see that happen so often that people have a dream. They call it a dream, but it's an out-of-body experience. And maybe in their life they'll change something in them for the better. And they don't know why, but they got it through that experience that there was something they had to change.
You learn a lot of valuable information through this.
Right.
Whereas a dream is extremely symbolic, usually.
Usually just comes in and fades away and goes away from you.
Right.
It don't bother you at all.
Well, one of the things that listening to the conversation this evening is I've had dreams that I can recall very accurately what happened, and I'll wake up in the morning and remember them completely or totally, to where other dreams I wouldn't. And I was kind of curious to find out whether or not that's what I was experiencing.
The ones you remember, almost every little detail of that dream, is you're out of the body. But a regular dream, what people call regular dreams, is like when you take a cat nap and something just flows through and flows right back out, and you wake up and you say, I had a funny, you know, and it's gone.
Sure.
Kind of a symbolic, meaningless, nonsensical, or perhaps even real thing.
Okay. Right.
But you can understand, I think, the difference in the subject matter. Maybe that's one way to put it.
Yeah, I understand what he's saying is you know, the cat napping and when your mind is wandering. But this is something that you wake up in the morning and you remember very candidly, and you don't understand why. Well, at least I haven't. Why you had this dream, but it makes a great impression upon you. And just from listening to the program tonight, I was curious whether or not that's what I was experiencing. Something else we talked about while listening to the show tonight is to find out, how do you go about visiting somebody like a deceased relative?
I think the first thing you do is get Jerry's books.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jerry, do you want us to give the address and how they go about getting your course?
Sure.
Do it again.
It's Search and Proof, Box K, St. Paul Park, St. Paul, Minnesota, 55071. And the course costs you... So the whole course is $30. It's a six-month course, because it should take 1 month to read a book all the way through.
And do what you're supposed to do in there, right?
What was that, Bill?
And do what you're supposed to do. If you follow the book, it takes a month, each one of those books, right?
Right.
Right.
By practicing what's in them.
Right. Does that help you, Rex?
It sure does. Thank you very much, Bill.
All right. I appreciate you calling in and checking in with us.
You bet.
We have Lota?
Leota.
Leota. Hello, Leota. What a romantic name that is, Leota. It just kind of rolls off the tongue.
I think it's actually a Cherokee Indian name.
Sounds like it might be.
Uh-huh, but I'm not Indian, that is.
Okay.
First, I want to thank you for your program. It has helped me enormously with my psychic experiences. In effect, it tells me each week, Leota, you're really not crazy after all.
Oh, Leota, you're one of my people. Thank you very much for saying that. That's sweet.
Well, it does help me very much, and I'm quite sincere about this, because sometimes I think I must be going balmy. Because I was born this way, you know. I hear things. I sometimes see things.
Why don't you go to England with us, and we'll go over there and check where it all came from.
And I know when I meet people, I pick up many times their vibrations. And they'll be telling me one thing, and I'm picking up something else, and I'm backing away from them. and it's things of this sort. So you do help me to prove I'm to myself I'm really not crazy.
Well, thank you. You know, we all have to stick together, Leona.
Well, yes, but I seem to be the odd one in the family, so that makes it rather difficult.
Welcome to the open mind family.
Well, thank you. And I should like, I travel, too.
Do you go out of body?
Yeah.
Well, everybody goes out of body but Bill.
Well, I thought I've been traveling ever since I could remember, so. And there are a couple of things that I would like to ask Jerry.
He's right here. Get
okay. It. Now, the first one had happened several years ago, but it's still very clear in my mind. I do not know where I went. Wherever it was, I was helping another, a crew. I was a member of a crew of people who were teleporting other people to other planets. I asked the man in charge of all of us, the crew, shouldn't I be able to see the people, or at least the energy stream, when we were teleporting them to another place? And he said, no. My question is, where did I go? What? Where does this sort of thing take place?
Well, the story that Cleet Roberts is probably covering.
It sounds weird, doesn't it? Does Jerry have any idea where I might have gone?
Okay, you couldn't see the people.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, oh, you mean the people we were teleporting?
Right.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. This seemed to be some sort of machinery, if you will. I mean, I was part of a group of people who were teleporting other people somewhere else. And these people seemed to go into this little room, and they from there they went somewhere else.
You were 20th Century Fox on the on the set of
Star Wars.
Well, that's a very easy question to answer.
Yeah, where was I?
You were in the astral plane, okay? Now, you had this all your life, right?
Uh-huh.
And what they do, what the spirit guides do, they use you at night.
Uh-huh.
To help them of taking the souls that are sleeping, taking the people that are sleeping, taking their souls out, and transporting them over to the next plane of existence. You get what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I do that a lot. They go in this little room, they see him, and they go somewhere else.
That's right.
I go through that a lot. Everybody, I know that, and that astral projected, for quite a while.
Uh-huh.
I go through this. And this is what they call, I ask the spirit guide, what are we doing? And we're helping them. I'm taking the people, and it's just, you know, every minute, there's a wave of souls coming over to visit.
Yeah, they were just, you know, regular people, men, women, children, whatnot.
See, the sun's always setting, and there's always a wave coming in. When you're out, you go help them a lot.
That's what I was doing?
Yes. I have about four or five people that I astral project with, and we all go through that exactly the same thing you went through.
Well, I was a helper.
Right.
Now, I wasn't teleporting myself.
No. You were helping to teleport the other souls over.
Right. And my question was, shouldn't I be able to see the energy stream when we teleported them? And the man said no.
Because you were in the finer matter then already. See, we can see the energy stream when we look at the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But now when we move into the astral, it's a more finer matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the astral body, it's hard to see that energy of your own, see? Now, if you were up into a higher plane of existence, then you could see the astral energy real good.
Oh, I see, but at my level, I couldn't.
You couldn't. See, I can see the Earth energy real good, like I can read auras on people real good. But now, when I get out of the body and I meet somebody in the astral or their astral body, then it is hard for me to read that because it's a finer matter.
Oh, I see. So I was helping them, but not progressed sufficiently to see the finer
You didn't
energy.
Need to because you were already in there.
Yes.
And then when you go to after the astral plane, when you go to the next plane after that, it's a more finer matter yet. And as you progress higher and higher, it gets finer and finer.
Oh, you mean I was just helping one of a crew, as I call it, helping the people who were arriving from the planet Earth.
Right.
That sounds like what it was.
Okay, now...
Goes on all the time.
I got one more question to ask you.
Make it quick, because we have a full board here.
Right. There is one other thing. I go way out somewhere else, and all I see are lights. And they are moving, and some are close by, and some are far away. But everything is in motion. But the background is dark. Where am I? Out in the universe?
You're out in the universe there. But you should be, the background's black, right?
Right.
But that's all you see is light.
Right.
Do you feel a gush in the ears as you...
No, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It is absolutely beautiful.
You just shoot through time.
I'm what?
Just shooting through the universe.
Oh, I am?
Yes.
But it's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
It's supposed to be.
What are these moving lights?
Well, that's actually the lights aren't moving. That's you moving.
It is?
Yeah, you're moving through stars.
The universe.
Oh, I thought the lights were moving and I was stationary.
Just look at it. You know, the lights are still there, the stars, or whatever you want to call them. And you're the moving through that.
Oh.
You're going through there like the Starship Enterprise.
Oh, it's faster than that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. You've helped me immensely.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, Leona, thank
Bye.
You very much. It's interesting how, you know, people are running across experiences that are really... To the out-of-body traveler, something quite normal. You know, By the way, I want to mention before we get back to Jerry Gross, who's standing by talking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota tonight about the out-of-body experience, that we are going to be taking a trip, you and I, to London, England, and environs. And at the present time, I'd like to hear from you. Just write me a card or a letter about, yeah, you would like to go. There's no obligation here. We're just kind of trying to sample you and find out how many would like to go. We'd like to have a couple hundred go if they would. And also, things that you know that us open mind folks would like seeing over in London. I know that the ghost houses are over there. We'll see those. Stonehenge. Maybe you have some ideas, too. If you would get to me, tell me what you feel, whether you think you could go. We'll make it very, very easy for you. As a member of the KABC Travel Club, Chucky Travel will take care of all of that, and it's going to be a very, very inexpensive way to see London and England, and we'll all go together. We'll have a great time. That'll happen in April or May, somewhere along there. But I'd like to hear from you if you want to be a part of that fun group. You know, England will never be the same after we all get over there. We'll tear that place apart, right? Okay, we have Rick here. Rick, welcome aboard.
Hi, good evening, Bill.
Uh-huh.
Good evening, Jerry.
Good evening.
Hi, Bill, have you ever thought about maybe you won't be able to astral travel for a while, because if you could astral travel, you'd probably spend all your time over there on the other side.
Yeah, probably so. There's so many things I want to find out and do, but I understand that there's no time or space. I probably could spend what would seem to be like months over there and not be gone as far as the physical life is concerned, but just a very short time. Isn't that true, Jerry?
That's right.
So that's a good point. So maybe that. I've thought of myself as I'd like to do it, but I haven't really made a strong enough effort yet.
In fact, the great universities are over there, and that's where our concept of the universities came from, was from the out-of-body travelers who found the universities in existence over there and brought the idea back.
So that's fascinating. Jerry, I wanted to ask you, tonight we've talked a little bit about a future and the past events. Have you seen anything on the other side as related to any big earthquakes that we might have, especially here in California? Everybody's worried about the big one. Have you ever heard any precognition that you've had about the big earthquake here?
No. I never heard anything about the big earthquake hit in California.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I read about it, that so many people predicted it, but I haven't got no information on that. The only thing that I got that would happen to California, that a tidal wave would hit it.
Oh, yeah. When would that come about?
In the morning at 9:30.
A car doesn't drive that fast.
I would say... You know, it's so hard when you do it.
Did they say within, 5 or 10 years?
I was trying to tell you. Hang on.
Oh.
Go ahead, Jerry.
I'd say it'll be between, within the next 20 years.
Uh-huh.
It'd just be the shoreline that would really get it. It wouldn't be the
water.
Well, you know, we have tidal waves that come periodically because of offshore earthquakes or even volcanic eruptions, so that's sort of a natural thing.
As far as earthquakes go, South America is going to get it bad. That's where the bad ones are going to be.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we've been having a lot of them, it seems like, lately.
A lot of little ones, thank goodness. You know, I'd rather have a little swarm of little ones than a no swarm and one big one.
Right. Well, yeah, an earthquake every minute, though.
Yeah, they go in all the time. You know, the Earth is constantly settling down in its big easy chair.
Right.
And something quakes.
True. Jerry, I wanted to ask you, when you're astral traveling, do you see lots of spirits, or is it just you and your partners?
Oh, no, all depends upon if I want to see them.
If you want to see them.
If I want
they're
to
around
see
you, I guess.
If I want to go home, then I'll see a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
If I just want to... mosey around the earth here, then I don't see many of them.
Well, do you see like children too, or are the people have an adult body? Do all the spirits tend to look alike at the same similar age?
Well, it's really hard to say. You know, like if I want to meet somebody that I knew from Earth, they're going to take on appearance that I would remember them by, right?
Right.
So if you had a little child that left her body early and you'd want to meet them, they're going to appear to you as a little child so you would remember them.
Nice. Wanted to see people as their real form.
Their real form?
Yeah, would that be the highest astral level?
The real form, when you see somebody with the real form...
Well, you know, like you see the true form, or as Bill said, do you see them out of your frame of reference? You know, so it's easier for you to understand who they are.
That's right. That's the way they appear to you.
What is their real form, Jerry? Have you ever seen it?
The real form is when you become one with everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're all aiming for. Of going back to where we came from.
An orb of energy, is it?
Right.
So I imagine, and then we get to that point, and then we start all over again, right?
I'll go higher.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask another thing, Jerry. You know, I always thought, well, maybe I don't think I'm worth astral travel, and maybe you have that thought too, Bill. I don't know, but does diet have an effect, or your thinking process down here on this level, like you think, well, I don't meditate and I don't really eat the right food, so therefore I don't deserve this?
See, what you're doing right there, you're throwing a negative into it right from the start. I don't care if you weigh 500 pounds. Or if you eat
tacos all day, doesn't make any difference.
All day.
Yeah.
You can still, that shouldn't stop you from astral projecting.
Right.
I know you can read a lot of books on this that say you gotta do this, you gotta do that, this. To me, that's all hogwash.
People like to make things mystic. They don't understand.
Right.
And we try to get it down to earth here.
I like to keep it simple.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way this is. It's simple.
Right. Okay, has anybody ever asked you for a certain type of information? Could you, I want to know about this. I don't ask to travel myself, but I need some help. Could you help me out on it?
Yeah, I have a lot of people there. When I took the test with Duke University, when they came out to see me, I was contacted by the CIA. I could have probably went to work for them.
They employ a lot of out-of-body travelers.
I know it. But I didn't want to get involved in anything like that.
That's probably the reason the CIA decided those MiG jets weren't aboard that Russian cargo freighter down there, because they sent somebody down to look at them.
You know about that Russian car? You know what they got?
What?
It was exactly what's on there.
What's that?
There's three helicopters, that's all.
You went down and looked?
I seen them.
Okay.
That's all that's on there. Three helicopters, and they're like gun helicopters and pick up wounded.
All right, let's keep that in mind, everybody. Jerry went down and saw them. There are three helicopters on board that ship that's at Cortina. No MiG jets. And there's much ado being made about not much, isn't there?
That's right.
Well, Jerry, are the shuttle astronauts going to be able to pick up those two satellites that are stranded out there?
Well, if they work hard enough.
They'll make it.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Bill, and glad you could make it tonight.
All right, thank you, Rick.
All right, bye-bye.
Glad you got aboard. Okay, Linda, it's your turn.
Oh, great. Hi, Bill and Jerry.
Hi.
Bill, I never went out of body.
Well, join the club.
But I never even heard of it, and I just had to get in on this.
Okay.
I thought, this is going on, and I'm missing it. And I can't believe it. And another thing that wanted me to get in on this was my lost a brother not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, if I could, you know, just talk to him again or something like that would be fantastic. But
he's there, ready to.
I would love it, and I just can't believe it's something like this is happening, and I never heard about it. But then I grew up Catholic, so probably I wouldn't ever have heard of anything like this.
That's your problem.
But I'm not going to let it stop me. I have an open mind. why wouldn't, say, my brother's soul be able to come and contact me, or would that be possible?
Probably tries to, as far as I go.
Well, why wouldn't I receive it?
You don't know you can.
Because I'm not open to it enough or something? Or?
Right. But Jerry knows more about that than I do. Jerry, what do you think?
He's probably pulling you by the ear every minute of the day trying to contact you.
Yeah? Well, he had a very tragic death on a motorcycle. And I'm wondering, does the body die, like, independent of the soul? Like, when it just gets too painful or something, would his soul have left his body?
Oh, definitely yes.
So you just kind of make the decision at a certain point to leave the body?
Sometimes you don't have a decision to make. You're going to leave it, like it or not.
Because it's going to die anyway.
That's right.
You're going to stand there and look at it and say, well, I can't come back in here no more.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're very confused at particularly incidents of sudden and unexpected death. You're very, very confused because the realities are very similar.
Yeah.
And you're just not able to discern that difference. It's a confusing time.
Okay.
What I'd like you to do...
Yeah.
Try an experiment out, will you?
Uh-huh.
For when you go to bed...
I'm dying to try it, so tell me.
When you go to bed...
Mm-hmm.
Start focusing in on him that you'd like to talk to.
Uh-huh.
The very last thing before you fall asleep.
Uh-huh.
And I'll guarantee you, you're going to wake up. Maybe not the first morning or maybe not the first week, but you try this. You're going to wake up and you're going to know that you contacted him.
Okay, well, I'm going to really try it with an open mind. And another thing I want to ask you, what point does the soul occupy the unborn child? I mean, does that happen in the womb, or does the soul not occupy the body until the baby is born?
Conception.
The soul occupies the conception?
Yeah, the baby can't live. It can't function unless there's the intelligence of the soul in order to start building the body.
So the soul is there from conception.
Yeah. Mother is not making the body. The spiritual intelligence of the soul is.
Uh-huh. Okay. And if I did this as a child, like you were saying earlier, how come I can't remember it? If we left the body, if we had out-of-body experiences as children, how come I can't remember that?
Do you remember what you did the second day you were in the first grade?
No.
Okay.
but this sounds like something
Bill,
really
you
want to remember.
My mind. I was just going to say that.
I'm honing in on you, Derek.
I mean, I would really want to remember this. But I also, another friend told me once that I would say, the only thing I really remember about anything strange as a child was this one dream where I would wake up feeling like I was tumbling or falling off a cliff. And I have a friend that tells me that was me coming back into my body.
That's right.
Would that be?
Yes, sir.
Because
yes,
I do remember this specific dream many, many times where I would wake up feeling like I had just fallen or tumbling.
Did you, when you came in a body, did you jump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's all I remember. I don't remember any experiences. You know, I want to remember that.
You just keep practicing and it will come.
Yeah. Okay. And also, just one more point. This sounds like, it almost sounds like a utopia.